choose our genes, is it? You didn't choose your parents. You know, it's not like you chose a mum who would buy you piano lessons. If you're naturally gifted at something, it's because someone has arranged that. And that someone is God himself. Why has God made you the person that you are with all your gifts and your abilities and your talents and the things that you're enthusiastic about? Why has God made you like that? So that you can glorify him with that gift and bless your church. Bless the church with it. That sharing of gifts, it's deeply countercultural, isn't it? You know, we live in a deeply individualistic society that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. No one tells me what to do. I am my own person. But you know, when you become a Christian, it says in verse 13, we were all baptized into one spirit. Sorry, baptized by one spirit into one body. That's this body, the church. Whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, whoever you are, whatever you like, we've all been given the one spirit to drink. There's something uniquely together about Christianity. It's a deeply important part of the Christian life. Togetherness, being baptized into one body, one local church. You can't live an isolated life as a Christian. It's never the Lord's intention that you should. And I know I'm preaching to the converted here because you're all here, aren't you? You know, you obviously all value local church because you're here. But, you know, God never intended us to be Christians sitting on our own somewhere at home listening to the radio and playing an MP3 of your favourite worship songs. That's not how church is meant to be. And I know it can be really hard to come to church sometimes. Sometimes it can be a real pain. And you'd rather not be with other people. I understand that. I have that feeling sometimes as well. But it does you good to be here. It does you good to be here. So that's the first thing. We're diverse because God is diverse. God has different roles within the Trinity. United, though, because God himself is united. He has one purpose, one plan. He is one God. And we will be happiest and most fruitful as a church when we mirror God. When we use our diverse gifts together, equally united. That's the first thing. So the second thing really flows out of that. Equality and diversity. The Holy Spirit, the Trinity is equal. The Son is God, the Father is God, the Spirit is God. There's no one is lesser than the other. They're all equally God. There's equality in diversity. So let's apply that to church. There are two equal and opposite problems with people in church. One is inferiority. I feel worse than you. I am nothing. I can't do anything. You guys don't need me. I'm just a hanger-on, really. I don't really do anything. That's one thing. Equal and opposite problem to that is pride. I'm better than you. You know, I don't need you. I can manage on my own. I don't need any of you guys. I'm just a standalone believer. Paul addresses exactly that in this passage. Look at verse 14. He says, now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. It's a bit wordy, but you get the idea. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an ear, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So I think this is meant to be a bit funny, okay? And not like massive joke, but I think it is meant to be. It's meant to raise a smile. I think it's meant to be a bit funny. Okay, bear with me. Imagine you wake up one morning, and your foot wakes up too, and your foot is just feeling a bit down. Your foot says, "You know, I wish I was a hand. You know, I because hands, you know, they get to do all the good stuff. They get to throw things. You know, hands get to eat hot dogs." Hands get to caress a woman. Hands get to do all the good stuff, don't they? And you know what? Because I'm not a hand, because I'm just a lowly foot, I'm not going to be part of John today. That's exactly what it's saying. And yeah, is that foot still part of me? Well, yeah, clearly it is. It doesn't matter how it feels. It is clearly still part of me. You just can't decide not to be part of the body. Same with the ear. Say you wake up one morning and your ear is in a foul mood. And it says, you know, the eyes, you know, they get all the attention. You know, lovers never stare into each other's ears, do they? You know, it's just not fair. You know, I'm a bit ugly. You know, the most attention I ever get is the end of a biro. You know, it's just rubbish. Well, you know what? If I can't be an I, I'm not going to be anything. I'm not going to be anything. That's what I say. I think it's meant to raise a smile. That's what Paul's saying. So it's meant to be a bit silly, I think. It's meant to get our attention. You see how silly it is when we say, I'm not as gifted as that person over there, therefore I'm going to sit right over here. I'm going to sit on the sidelines. I don't have the confidence to stand at the front or teach Sunday school, therefore I'm not really part of Park Church. I come along, but I'm not really going to be part of it. I'm not really part of the church. Well, of course you are. Of course you are. Just because you don't have the confidence to stand at the front here like me or Simon does, that doesn't mean you're any less part of the church. It doesn't mean that at all. You're not part of the church by virtue of what you do. It's not, I make coffee, therefore I am. That's not how it works in the church. It's because of Christ. It's because of the Spirit that he's put in you. That's what makes you part of the church. The question isn't, what can I do? It's, who am I? Who am I? It's about identity. You're not part of church because of what you do. I arrange flowers, therefore I am. No, no. The Holy Spirit awakened you to the Father's love and adopted you into his family through Jesus. That's why you're part of the church. That's why you're part of the church. Sometimes people give away their attitudes by the words they use. When you talk about church, do you say, I go to Park Church? Or do you say, I'm part of Park Church? Because the two are really different, aren't they? You see the difference? I go to Park Church, and I, you know, maybe it sounds a bit pedantic, but it says something about how you see yourself. I go along to be involved in this building and to be with these other people. Or I'm part of it. I'm part of these people. I'm part of this body. If you're not already part of another church and you're here this morning, then and you're a believer, you ought to be part of this one. Plain and simple. If you're not committed to a church somewhere already, and great if you're a visitor with us, that's lovely to have you. It's great to be part of another church as well. I'm not saying we're the best one or the only one by any means. But if you're not part of a church and you're a Christian, come and be part of this one. You need to be part of a church somewhere. Sometimes people say things like this to me. They say things like, not often, but it has happened. They say things like, John, what are you going to do about the music? John, what are you going to do about communion or evangelism or whatever else it is? And I feel like saying, I think I have said it once or twice, well, what are we going to do about it? Good question. What are we going to do about that? Because it's not my church. It's not John's church. It's not Simon's church. It's not Howard's church either. It's our church, isn't it? It's our church. This is our church. What we're saying is, if you say, what are you going to do about this, John? What you're saying is, I don't really feel important enough to be part of this. I'm not that gifted. I'm not that clever. I'm not a good communicator. I don't have that much spare time. Maybe I'm not really going to be part of it. I was talking to an elderly person recently, and in fact, I have this same conversation quite regularly with older people. And she said, "No, I can't do the things that I used to do." And it was really difficult for her. I used to be so active. I used to help with this and that and that. And I can't do that anymore. And I don't feel part of the church like I used to. And I said, well, you know, it's not what you do that makes you part of the church. It's what you are in Christ that makes you part of the church. It's exactly what Paul is saying. Just because you can't do what you used to do. Just because maybe you used to be an eye and now you're an ear. You know, because life goes through phases, doesn't it? You know, when you got little kids, man, you aren't the eyes anymore. You know, you're the feet or something, or you know, you can't do the stuff you used to do when you got little kids, or when you're much older, or if you've got some disability or something that's come upon you, then you know, you can't do the stuff you used to do. But does that make you lesser part of the church? No, of course not, because you're not defined by what you do. You're defined by who you are in Christ. In the end, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Just as he wanted them to be. God has put us together in this body. There are many parts, but one body. I want you to imagine for one horrifying moment that this church was made up of clones of John Mason. And you come in. Let me tell you, it would not be good for you. It would not be good, because every week we'd have heavy metal worship. And me and Alex, we'd love it, you know, we'd be rocking away. But, and Simon too, you know, it'd be great. But the rest of you, you'd absolutely hate it. And every week you'd go out with your ears bleeding. And it wouldn't be good for you. But you know what? It wouldn't be good for me either. It'd be awful for me too, because there'd be no one there to challenge me. There'd be no one there to keep me on my toes. There'd be no one there to annoy me so that I can grow in grace and love and perseverance. And that's true. That is why God puts us like this together in churches. It's so that we do rub up against each other sometimes and we grow in grace and love and forgiveness and all those kind of things. We need this diversity of gifts and skills. We're not all the same. It's a good job too. God has put us all together just as he wants us. And you might not be able to do what you used to be able to do, but that doesn't make you any less a part of what God is doing here in Park Church. God has arranged all the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. So don't wish that you could do X, Y, and Z. Just do what you can do and do it well. Whatever your ability is, do it to the best of your ability. If you can play piano, play it to the best of your ability. If you can put away chairs, do it to the best of your ability. And I know we've got a really good chair, put it away in this room right now. Throw everything into serving God. Use all your gifts, use all your abilities, as far as it's possible to do so, in church for the glory of God. That's all that is to say one thing. Don't feel inferior. We need each other. We need each other. Second thing, the opposite, equal and opposite problem. Don't feel proud. Don't feel above each other, above others. Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Oh, I'm the eyes. Everyone looks into the eyes. Everyone loves looking, loves staring into each other's eyes, don't they? The eyes are beautiful. The eyes are lovely. I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, verse 21, I don't need you. So imagine one morning you wake up and the eye looks at the hand and says, oh, I don't really want you today. you're not as important as I am. Go away. It doesn't work, does it? Or if your head says to your feet, yeah, go away. You're not important. You're not as good as I am. Your body's going to fall over, isn't it? You're not going to get far out of bed. But isn't that what our culture says? Isn't that what our culture says all the time? If you can't do much, you're a bit of a waste of space. If you've had a hard life, if you've messed up your schooling, if you've never had a decent job, if your kids haven't turned out all that well, if you've been in prison, you're just useless. Put you on the scrap heap. Our culture says, we don't need you. We don't need you. You're not the shiny, bright, sparkly person. We don't need you. You're not important. Our culture says, if you're abnormal, we'll finish you off even before you're born. Euthanasia is coming our way. I'm sure of it. Our culture writes off weak people. Church is never to be like that. Never to be like that. We should never look down on other people. Whether they're prisoners or asylum seekers or on benefits or whatever else it is. We never look down on other people. We never treat those that Christ died for as worthless. Let me ask you today, do you love the have-nots as much as you love the house. And for some people, that's really hard. Let's be careful what I say. If you've got everything going for you, it's very tempting just to hang around with people just like yourself. If you're successful, it's very tempting to just want to be with other successful people all the time. It's not what it's to be like in church. We're to love the have-nots as much as the haves. Because in the end, Jesus died for have-nots. People described him as the friend of sinners. Are we the friends of sinners? We must all remember that we were all have-nots, weren't we? Outside of Christ, we are all have-nots. I wonder how many times you've lost it with the kids this week. Or looked at something you shouldn't have done, or listened to gossip. We're all guilty. We're all have-nots. We're all pretty rubbish under the surface. Jesus says, come back. Guilty child, come back. Come back, repent. He loves the have-nots. Like me and like you. Unity and diversity, equality and diversity, finally and very briefly, service and diversity. Quick look at verse 28. God has appointed, first of all, prophets, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, all these different things. The greatest gifts that Paul lists there, and we haven't got time to go into this in any detail, but the greatest gifts are those that serve others more. If you look at it carefully, eagerly desire the greater gifts, he says. The greater gifts are those that serve more people. Eagerly desire to serve more. In other words, don't be content with just doing the minimum. Eagerly desire to do more, to love, to give more, to serve more. If your gift this morning is to smile nicely, if that's the only gift that you've been given, okay? If that's the only thing you have, is to smile nicely. Smile well for the glory of God. Do it enthusiastically. But then don't just sit back and say, well, I've done my bit. I've smiled well today. Christian service, tick that box. That's good, isn't it? Instead, desire the greater gift. Okay, so I don't feel confident to talk to anyone, let's say. But Lord, you've gifted me with smiling. Now, Lord, I want to develop and grow in faith and in service for your church. Lord, I desire the gift of handing out notice sheets. Oh, Lord, I desire the gift of sitting in creche to help out some of the younger parents. Lord, I desire to serve your body. And I know they need some help on the coffee rotor. I want that gift. I want the gift to be able to make guys coffee. That's a real gift, actually, by the way. You know, I'm going to serve through hoovering or washing up or whatever else it is, or sending someone a card to encourage them, or making a phone call or some admin, or teaching Sunday school, or helping on the Thursday night at the youth club. Don't be satisfied with minimum participation. I want to demonstrate my love for you, Lord, and for your church by using my gifts and growing into new gifts. It's the Trinity. Three persons, equal, united, equal, but different. That is our model. United. Equal, but different. That's who we are in Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for giving us such a vast array of gifts in our church here. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live out this Christian life well among ourselves. Help us to love and forgive and to embrace difference and diversity. I know it's a challenge sometimes, Lord, and we rub each other up the wrong way sometimes, but Lord, help us to have you as our model. And to serve you well. Please help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing just a very short one to close, and then